Hello and welcome in to another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 4, episode 27. And this week we get to talk all about March Madness. We are super excited, I think, to break down what our matchup is and where we are and where we're going and who we're beating. Cause I think we have the same confidence that some of the players on the team, you know, give us anyone, and I think we can beat them. And I think this team that we're playing in Ohio State is definitely beatable. So we'll talk about that, talk about the Loyola, you know, perspective of it. And then we'll just kind of talk about some interesting things about the tournament as a whole, some teams that are, you know, important to us, or teams we've played this season, or teams we might want revenge on. And then we're going to talk also about the Selection Sunday event at Loyola. So, Lou, what was your first thought when you saw us matched up against Ohio State?
To be honest with you, right away I was like, oh, that must be in Indianapolis, right? Like, you just thought.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was in the Pittsburgh. Again, of course, in favor of, I guess, the 7 seed, which makes sense, the higher seed getting somewhat close to their home, their campus. But overall, Fiante, a little shocked. I was like, oh, wow, Big Ten school right away. Not like we haven't done any damage to Big Ten schools in the past. We've battled some big schools. But then I did some research, and I kind of came back to the medium of, yeah, no, we can win. And I do think this team can win. So there's a lot of mixed emotions, but a lot of things to talk about. Would have liked to see Milwaukee or Indianapolis, but again, we got Pittsburgh and just excited we're in the tournament, right? That's the first time back-to-back since the 62-63s season, or 63-64, however you want to look at it. But first time since then, and that's just a great thing to talk about.
It is, and I think as Coach Drew said at the Selection Sunday show, it's a great day to be a Rambler. So stick with us, and always remember, don't forget, go Blurs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter. Hunter shoots, off the rim. Brown gets it, scores. It's over. It's over. We won. We won the ball game. Loyola won the ball game. Oh, we won 60-58.
And we are back. So yeah, let's break down our matchup. We are playing against Ohio State in Pittsburgh, as Lou said earlier. They finished the season 19-11. They finished the season with 2 straight losses. They lost 4 of their last 5, with a win against Michigan State, squeezed in between there. I didn't know too much about Ohio State, to be honest. I knew they had EJ Liddell, who's their top player. He averages 19.5 points a game. I know he is a difficult matchup for anyone, not just mid-majors, but anyone that they would be able to match up against. Honestly, like I had to do my fair share of research about Ohio State. Like Lou said earlier, yeah, I was kind of bummed too that it wasn't in Milwaukee or Indianapolis, but we are both going to be going there, so we figured it out, and we're pretty pumped to be going. Still got to work out, you know, some details here and there, but it will be a ton of fun. You know, you never know when there's going to be another March Madness game with Loyola in it. You know, come to assume that it's every year, I guess now, but that's not really the reality. Mm-hmm. So, what was some more insight about Ohio State?
Yeah, well, I think the last thing for me, the last thing about their season, though, is really just how they finished it, right? So going into the tournament, the regular season, including the Big Ten tournament, they weren't great. They lost 4 of the last 5. And to teams that really, now you say, oh, the Big Ten, it's like, it's competitive, but it really were to teams that weren't scratching at all, maybe the top 5. They lost to Maryland, lost to Nebraska, they lost to even Penn State, and then Michigan, who, in my opinion, were on the very low end still of the Big Ten top team. So, they won. They won one against Michigan State, which kudos to them, because they beat Michigan State by 11, which is more than we lost by, definitely. So that's something that was interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting to see what their team is like. And it really is, if EJ Little has a good game, then they're going to have a good game, right? Because he's the sole kind of score, kind of offense goes through him. But yet again, we noticed that there were two other guys and they might be out. So that's something I want to talk about. But again, Ohio State's a Big Ten program. They got guys who are supposed to be ready even off the bench to step up to start. But I do think this team is a little thin in experienced guys and guys who usually control the offense, where I think Loyola can take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the big, actually, advantages we have over them is experience. Experience and guys just who have been in March Madness. I don't have the exact number, but I know there have been some national pundits that have been talking about that. But also just experience, like, from being in college basketball. I mean, E.J. Liddell is a junior, but then their next highest scorer, Malachi Branham, I think, is a freshman. He was the freshman of the year in the Big Ten, so he's very good, but he's never been on the stage before. You know, he's never played in March Madness, and how that
Branham,
goes.
That is, right?
Yeah, Branham.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I just want to make sure, yeah.
Some of their other players aren't as experienced as our guys, which I think will be an advantage for us. You know, we've been there. I think Kevin Sweeney maybe, or it could have been someone else who said that, you know, six of the seven of our main players from last year are on this team still, you know, six of the seven of the main rotation guys. And, I just think that's going to be an advantage for us getting there and ignoring all the, as much as you can, the, you know, the cameras and all that kind of stuff, getting into your routine, even though you're at a stadium you've never played a game at, right? It's different than, you know, it's obviously much different than playing a home game, but I think even just playing away games in the Missouri Valley or whatever conference you might be coming from, you can get into a routine of how those go as well. And this is just a whole different animal. So I think we just have that, you know, hopefully we have that advantage experience-wise, that mental edge, you know, some of those things you can't really quantify with some numbers. But I also want to talk about numbers. So if you have anything else on that, go for it.
Yeah, I just want to talk about just experience really, really quick, just to give insight to Ohio State. E.J. Little's the only starter from last year's team who did make the NCAA tournament. If people remember, they lost in OT to Oral Roberts.
Oh, that's right.
75-72 game. But he is the only returning starter. And if I'm correct here, I'm pretty sure it looks like three other guys. So three guys total are the only returning players who even played a minute in the NCAA tournament game. And that'd be Zed Key. And it looks like Eugene Brown played a few minutes, I think, or maybe just a few seconds. It looks like didn't even really total any ticks in the box score. But I think that's just crazy, right? Because AJ Little put up 23 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. He did have 5 turnovers. But those numbers in the NCAA tournament game are pretty darn good numbers. Mm-hmm. Now, it's just interesting, that experience thing. It's like, okay, I don't know anyone right now on the Ohio State team who has had that experience. But again, E.J. Little's only had one game. Well, majority of our guys had at least two games. Yes, we can talk about the Sweet 16 loss to Oregon State, but then you've had Tate Hall and you've had Braden. And here, like, guys who are starting have that experience. So I do think that's a benefit, absolutely, more than people might think. But then at the end of the game, end of the day, it's also there. It's not last year's tournament. This is a completely new tournament. So, but I think, like, Oral Roberts' game is a great game to watch. I don't really recall. I think Oral Roberts just shoots from three. They had an amazing day from three that game, or maybe not. But I don't really remember that game too well. But I think that's a game that you'll see Loyola coaching staff looking at film, because that's the kind of energy also you want to see, what type of energy Ohio State comes out with, regardless of also the roster, same coach and everything. So it's kind of what plays they come out with in the beginning, the first 10 minutes of the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And hopefully, I mean, I'm sure our staff has watched a lot of film, whether it's stuff from last year or, you know, good or bad games this year, see how they play when they play well and how they play when they don't play well. Going into some of the numbers, just to kind of compare the two teams, You know, a good place to start is the net rankings, which is supposedly used by NCAA. Who knows after the seedings from this year, but, we did finish 23rd in the net. For comparison, Ohio State is 26th. And just kind of one other interesting note about the net, the team right above us is San Francisco at 22, and the team right below us is third seeded Wisconsin. So, you know, I know there's quality wins, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not complaining about our seeding compared to Wisconsin, at least not in this episode. But it's just interesting to see that there were that similar to them. And then just like some other websites, KenPom, and KenPom were number 24, I believe, and Ohio State's 32. And then last one that I have is Haslametrics, where we're number 20. And Ohio State is number 36. So, you know, obviously Haslametrics is a little more extreme than the other ones, but I think it's like kind of clear, at least from the numbers, I think we're a better team. Like, just in, it's close. I'm not trying to say we're going to blow them out or anything, but you know, even if you look at like the Vegas odds, we're favored by one, or at least that's how it started. You know, I don't know if this is what I was expecting from like a 7-10 or from our matchup. I also thought we would maybe get an 11 seed. Yeah, it's just kind of, I think at least from the numbers, from you could look at their record, 19-11, the way they finished the year. I think there's a lot of things that point to like we are a slightly better team. They do have a lot of talent. A lot of like frontline talent, especially like their two best players are really, really good. But, you know, I think it was Jay Billis maybe who said that Lucas Williamson will be the best defender on the floor in this game. So, you know, they might have the edge offensively, at least with EJ Liddell, but like, I think we have the edge defensively. I actually have some numbers to back that up, but if you want to say about like some of the rankings or just like what you think about the overall matchup between the two teams.
Yeah, I don't think it's tough, right? So Ohio State, I think, ended their season really poorly. So that's why you maybe not see them get a higher seed in maybe the single digits. I don't know if you compare it to like Wisconsin, even earlier in the year, they didn't win the games that people thought what they lost, or not Wisconsin, sorry, Michigan. Michigan lost to like Marquette and stuff like that. And Michigan's an 11 seed. So the Big Ten wins and losses, right, that they hold weight. And I think you were talking about that, right? Like it varies. Like you have Michigan, Wisconsin right ahead of us. And who's right behind us?
Right ahead of us is San Francisco, and right behind us is Wisconsin.
Oh, so I'm completely, so that's even hilarious because.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Is a 10 seed as well. And so it's like, in that case, right, I also think people are looking at San Francisco and you're like, oh, okay, well, who did you even play, right? And then you look at Wisconsin, it's like, oh, you guys always play tough teams, I guess, right? So it's one of those interesting, I guess, comparisons. Do we ever think that the NCAA committee does everything perfect? No. Like, there's never going to be the right matchup, and there's always going to be matchups that are not geographical related at all, but then there are matchups that are like they only did it because – like, I personally think also one of the things, they didn't look into the ratings of, like, they just looked into, oh, Ohio State just played that Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis. Let's put them somewhere else besides Indianapolis. Like, I think sometimes there are not even metrics that are even brought into this. It's just the idea of where do we want fans to go. Like, I do think there's that side. So when you look at the metrics, like, how's the metric and everything, but the own net rating did nothing, in my opinion. Like, it kind of sucks to say, right? But it really did nothing when you have Wisconsin behind us and there are three and you have like, if we were by the net, then we would be by the net, but that's not how it is. And I don't know if it will ever be by the net directly. Like if some legit one is one, two is one. Like, I don't think you'll ever see that. Mm-hmm. And then you have guys like Jerry Palmer. I listened to said, yeah. On 670 The Score. He was like, yeah, if they go to the A10, that's going to help them so much more. But it just confuses me because it's like, well, it's still going to be a quad one win, regardless if it's like, it's, those are still going to be the same thing, regardless of what conference they're in. Now, maybe the conference has more quad one wins. So that's what you hope for, right? Or you have more quad one losses instead of a, if we lost against Bradley, right? I think Bradley's what, is that a quad three, quad two loss? While an A10 school we might lose to would probably hopefully fall into quad one. So that's kind of what you hope for, but it was tough to kind of be like, oh, I definitely don't think, and I, this is one topic I want to get into with the ratings and it, maybe the ranking number, but I don't think we got snubbed like as much as we did last year at all. I think last year was a bigger thing, but I don't know what you have to say about that, Buck.
Like the snub for the seeding.
Yeah,
like for think, this
well,
year.
Last year that was the big. Yeah, this year I don't think we were as.
Yeah,
much, so I
don't
know what you're.
I think we were properly seated this year. Yeah, last year, yeah, I think there was a legitimate gripe about being in the 8-9 game. I think that was kind of silly. But yeah, this year, no, I think it's a good seating, honestly. Like, I would have been pretty surprised if we were a 9 this year. And I also think it's just better for us to be a 10 to avoid those 1 seeds. And if we do end up making it to the next round. But then, yeah, so like some of the interesting, like little, bits of information about Ohio State. I love Haslametrics because I love how they break it down. I just kind of noticed, Ohio State, is a very, they're not dependent on the three. They're like kind of right in the middle as far as Division I basketball teams go on making three pointers, and very similar in like how many they take. They're 141st and 186th respectively in those two categories. The one thing that, they do pretty well, their offense is obviously, very efficient. And they take, they make a lot of mid-range jump shots. They're actually they're third in the nation in the amount of mid-range jump shots that they make. So I'm sure that's something that our team has scouted. But one of the things that I am famous for is when I see a mid-range shot go up, I'm like, oh, you know, guarded mid-range. That's a garbage shot. Like, that's a bad shot. So I'm going to have to, like, recalibrate my brain to make sure that I'm not yelling at all the time, because it seems like they take and they make those. But then in addition to, three or mid range shots, they're also really good at making, near proximity shots. So layups, dunks, and tip ins. They are the 7th best team in the country at making them, but interestingly enough, they don't take a lot of them. They're 332nd. So very much toward the end. In amount of field goals taken near the basket. So I kind of don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's like a result of like the, cause EJ Liddell obviously takes most of their shots. And even though he's extremely strong, he's not the biggest guy. So maybe he does a lot more of like hook shots or short jump shots. And maybe that's, it falls more in the mid range category than the near proximity. But yeah, for me, I mean, they're gonna make a lot of mid-range shots. They don't take a lot of layups, like compared to some of the other teams. Otherwise they are just like a very efficient, offensive team. Defense is a whole nother story, but Lou, I'm kind of curious what you think. I don't know if you like how much you've looked or if you want to talk about someone else other than EJ Liddell, but like offensively, what's something that kind of worries you, about this team?
Yeah, I think the one, and it's just like, okay, so Ohio State beat Duke early in the season, right? And that was a game that's like, that on, if I'm looking at their, it's not even resume, but I'm just looking at it, I'm like, holy crap, you beat Duke, right? Like, that's always going to be like one that opens the eyes, right? Mm-hmm. And in that game, EJ Liddell had 14 points, but then Zed Key all had 20, and a guy who normally doesn't average more than 9 points a game. Then they had a bench player put up 12. So it's like, it's more for me, like that game was a good understanding of like, oh, what is this team really looked for in like pushing the ball around? And I think is, yes, EJ Liddell is going to be one source of scoring. Now, though, it's more of the concern of if we just, and I think we talked about it, is like, if we just decide to double team, I think that then causes our Achilles heel of like, someone's just going to be left wide open, and that's where they're going to get scoring from, right? So it's more for me that like that I think that they're going to try for EJ Liddell, just the first option, but I do think they have an option, and they know that they have other options to really get it in. Like, I'm looking at a game, I was watching some highlights that they only lost to Purdue by 3. And they, what Purdue did a lot of, they were doing in and out, right? That, I forget, is it Williams down low they have? But they would feed it in and then all of a sudden out to like Stefanovic or even, Ivy and stuff like that. So it's like, that's an interesting thing I think about also how they play defensively, right? Because EJ Liddell, yeah, he's the offense, but it's the defensive game that what are they going to guard? A lot of, what Purdue does a lot of, pick and rolls with, is it Zach, what's their big guy name at Purdue?
Yeah, Edie, yeah.
Yeah, Edie, yeah. And that's him and I. So I think we could do that because we've done that where even if it's Huddy or if it's even CK, all right, because I think CK wants to get back in the groove. So I think the way we look at, like, the Ohio State matchup is more just, okay, it's going to be EJ Liddell, but what other matchups could come out of this if we just solely only focus on one? Because I think that's what gets us in trouble sometimes, right? Oh, a great example, you and I at home. We held, or not you and I at home, right? You and I away. I think it's like Noah Carter and guys like that. Like, those are good examples. It's like, who, what other guys are going to be sources? And right now, for me, it's Kyle Young and Makai Brennan. Is it Brennan? Just for the fact that I don't know. I'm not going to say it's 100% because right now, those guys, I don't know if you've said it, but we talked about it offhand, is that those both guys are going through some medical exams and we don't know if they're cleared yet or if they're back yet. And I've been reading, there was an article today. So I think right now it's EJ Little is, yeah, that's the top tier, but it's going to be, if we got some healthy other guys at Ohio State and Kyle Young and stuff, there's nothing wrong in saying those guys could also have a great game. Because I've seen us in games where we focus on one player and we kind of just leave it open. But I think Ohio State's weakness, in my opinion, in watching like some of their games is, he might not be able to guard the three as much as they like. And I think that's where we have an advantage there.
Yeah, just to kind of give the listeners an update on those injuries. So from the Columbus Dispatch today, the 14th, just kind of like actually 2 hours from before we recorded, the coach there says that the Buckeyes played their last game without Kyle Young, who was out while in concussion protocol. And Kyle Young is, let me check really quick. I believe he's like either their third or fourth leading scorer, third leading scorer, Kyle Young. And he wasn't even able to sit on the bench during the game. Again, you know, we're not reporting, like, we don't have any news to break or anything, but like someone who's not sitting on a bench a week, I don't know how, with concussions, like if you're going to be fully healthy in a week, it sounds very serious. And then similarly, Zed Key, who is their fourth leading scorer, is recovering from a right ankle injury. I don't, you know, that one to me, like ankles, if you can tape it up well enough to where you're not feeling pain, like running, he's probably going to give it a go. Like that's just kind of how athletes work. I don't know if it's anything, you know, worse than like a sprained ankle. If it's a high ankle sprain, those things are more difficult and are more difficult to play with. But if it's just like he rolled his ankle, I'm going to guess that he's probably going to give it a go. But then another guy for them, Justice Suing, who has only played two games this year. I saw earlier, I don't remember if it was Cass or Jay Billis or some national reporter said that Justice Suing was not going to be playing in this game. So he hasn't been a big contributor for them, obviously, since he's only played two games. But, yeah, just kind of something to keep our eyes on. If Kyle Young and Zed Key can't go for them, they also – that loses a bunch of size for them. There is one guy, Joey Brunk, who has been playing the last three games. He's been playing like probably an average of 28 minutes. Where before that he was playing maybe three or four. He has picked up a lot of time and he is 6'11". So, he's just kind of a pure center for them. Which would be a different matchup that they don't have another player of that height other than Joey Brunk. So, yeah, it sounds like a lot of moving parts. Obviously, like, you know, you want to be the team when they're fully healthy, but if guys can't go, that's part of the game. And it sounds like if either one of these two guys were to, or if both of them weren't to play, it would be a significant hit to their rotation minutes. And I think they would just ask their other starters to play a bunch more. I don't think they're super deep, so they'd probably only go as far as like six or seven, or like, yes, like seven total onto their bench. I can kind of look at their last game to see who end up playing how many minutes, but they only, their four of their five starters played over 31 minutes against Penn State. Off the bench, you had one guy play 14, one guy play 28, and then the other guy played 6 minutes. So, it's just, it seems like they have a bit of a health, issue. And, it sounds like it's going to have some impact on the game.
No, absolutely. And I think the impact of that I'm watching, I'm just having some fun watching some highlights of Ohio State Purdue. And it's like Purdue's just a unique one just because also they're in the tournament, but they also have Zach Edey, who is just massive and he's towering over every Ohio State player. But it's that you see them not being able to guard the three. They just seem to not be able to guard the three at all, which now I'm trying to look at this game to see how it went. They lost, but I'm trying to figure out how from a 3-point stand. But that's the type of thing that you really look out for is like what type of team can Loyola also try to replicate that Ohio State played this year, right? I don't think we can replicate with a 7-footer coming out and being the tower over all these guys, but EJ Liddell isn't afraid to get in and drive. I just watched him do a baseline jumper while Kyle Young can shoot from free. So it's like if guys are healthy, like you said, it's going to be a mixed match, but also depending on what rotation we put out there, and that's something that I want to talk about really is just like, well, do we go small regardless of who we play, right? Because it's like the small is what won us the last three games, right? And so those are questions that are kind of concerning to me, and that's why you bring up Brunk, right, who is the biggest guy, and I don't even see him in here really going up against that Edey. So it's like, well, do they just prefer to go something else? Because, again, you got Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey was the guy, which I'm not saying Jaden Ivey and Lucas are the same player, but I see very similar, right? They both like to pull up from three, but they also drive, and I can see them both doing that. So it's an interesting matchup. I think it really is going to come down to, like you said, and it kind of blows my mind, a healthy team really changes how you prepare. I really do think that's what it does, regardless of then what they did in the game before. So it is so interesting. But then the games before then show you, okay, well, if this is the roster, this is how they play. Like EJ Liddell is just going to score a lot, and then who then stepped up? So then you can kind of see how the offense passes through. I think that's the biggest question right now. I was like, where's the offense going to come from? Because that's what we're trying to figure out. And this coaching staff, that's what they're trying to figure out, scouting.
Yeah, and just kind of to, like, belabor the point of their defense not being all that anything special, Haslametrics has them as the 132nd best defense. Comparatively, we are the 19th best defense. Some things that they don't do very well on defense are giving up both mid-range and near-proximity shots. They are 37th and 39th in that. And similarly, they are the 39th, is this the 37th best team or 30? I think it is. So I'm getting the reverse here. So they are actually 141st in 3-point percentage. So they, like you were saying in the game that you're watching, they're giving up open threes. That's because they are not very good at it. It seems like they also are just terrible at like giving up field goals, which it sounds silly, but I think what that comes from is not getting a lot of turnovers, and allowing offensive rebounds. Cause I don't know if he has, if Haslametrics has a stat about offensive rebounds. There's one called potential quick points allowed off second chance offensive rebounds. And they're also very bad at that. So it seems like if we can hold on to the ball, and get open threes and maybe try to find some long rebounds. That might be a strategy to winning the game. But I think we got to start by attempting to go down low, attempting to drive to the hoop and open up our three-point opportunities. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think one thing, just because we're talking about the game, and it's an interesting one to say the least, is they lost to Purdue in the last few seconds. Mm-hmm. They were down 20 points at somewhere, maybe 15 points I saw, and they had no problem coming back. Like, absolutely no problem trying to come back. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it was a 78-81 game. So no defense. So in a college game, that's no defense, right? It really was that people were just shooting threes, and that's what it was. And the funny enough thing is, I think EJ Liddell, and I don't know, but when the game was on the line, I'm pretty sure EJ Liddell was the one who was like, okay, we need to take a shot, and he did. But then the thing is, you come back on their end, and they Ivy was going to take the ball in his hands, and Ivy just does a three-point shot right in their guarded defense. Like, they had guys on him. So it is kind of interesting, but I really think the biggest things are just going to be, okay, well, if they're going to let us shoot, then we got to hit it, right? Because that's what people have said, we live and die by three, and it's kind of true, right? It's not a negative thing because we have great games, but it's also just kind of nearly a weakness when we're not having so hot of a game. So I think the biggest thing for us is nearly going to be, what is another way we can score if we need to be able to score. So that's like the biggest thing for me, because you watch guys at Purdue, they kind of have a depth of guys who can just put up buckets, but also they're able to battle. So Ohio State's an interesting team, I think, say the least. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk by any means. I think one thing we haven't talked about is what we look to present. And mm-hmm. I think we need to show up with, number one thing we need to show up is the defense we had. Mm-hmm. Arch Madness. Jeez, I'm so like nervous and talking about it, but it's the truth. Defense gets you far. And I think even Lucas said that, right? I think mm-hmm. I was listening to 670. He said defense gets you far in the tournament, and it absolutely does it. It just does. I don't personally, I don't care if a game's 44-43. Mm-hmm. I don't. Maybe some betting people might, right? But if you win a game by your defense, then absolutely fine. It at least as you know, like, hey, we missed a shot. Okay, our defense can maybe hold it for us, right? Those are the biggest questions. It's like, okay, if you go down over two and you get a stop on defense. Because then if you can't stop your opponent on defense and you're having a bad game for like a stretch, and we've had a few times, right? We've had a few times in our history, like Loyola's gone on a bad 3-minute stretch without a field goal. Or even I think in Arch Madness, we might have a little bit, yet now granted we our opponent went on longer stretches, but there were some streaks where we weren't doing it. And yeah, we were scoring baskets maybe at the free throw line, but field goals weren't coming down. So I think defense will lead to the offense, and hearing Lucas even say defense gets it deep in the tournament is just great, because that's what I hope they're focusing on, because I think our offense can just – it's not hard for our offense to start clicking because we have so many different guys who, when doing their job right, then, okay, just feed CK. Oh, feed Braden. Like, we have many options, but one option is we just can't, like, lack on defense. We got to box out. We got to guard the corner three. Like, those are things that if you relax on that, then you just leave the game wide open to the opponent to just take advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think it's as simple as if we play our defense, like you said, from Arch Madness, I think we win. I mean, that defense was suffocating. The amount of turnovers we caused was great. Our rebounding, I think, even though I feel like in most of the games we gave up a few offensive rebounds to start, but then mm-hmm. as we got into it, we kind of figured out how to box out and
absolutely
and prevent them. So I think those are just like kind of the three key things for our defense. And I think I said this offhand to you the other day, even though, yeah, EJ Liddell is their best player. He's, you know, a post player. I don't think he's a center by any means, but you know, a lot of the times in order to get you got to get the ball to those players, even though he can handle it a little bit. So if our guards are playing good enough defense and just causing, you know, issues to be able to get the balls to him, he might not be able to have a good game just because we're doing such a good job preventing the ball to getting to him. So
absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think that's a great point of like it right now. It's this, right? Our last two games have been the same exact scenario. I think we're almost going to be in is that this team relies on one player for a lot of their offense, or at least a lot of their offense to be run through. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is you and I with AJ Green, Drake with Tucker Gravese. But both teams have, I don't even want to put the word mediocre, but they have other substitutes who can fill in that, like, if their guy's locked down. So we can't forget about it. And I think that's right. Like, EJ Liddell is of the caliber of on an impact to a team. Now, we're not saying, EJ Liddell is AJ Green or AJ Green is, like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the amount of, I guess, time and offense that is run through one player is roughly the same if you look at it, right? EJ Liddell is probably going to touch the ball the same amount of times Tucker and the same amount as AJ Green did. And that's kind of could be to our benefit or could be our something that hurts us. But I think I'm leaning toward benefit for the fact is if we do what we did the last two games we played of knowing how to pay attention to not just the one player, but locking him up or getting him uncomfortable and then also not leaving other guys wide open or just leaving it for chance. Right. And that's something that I'm really excited for because we're not going up against a team that maybe has four guys that all score 9 points, right? We have a team that right now, according to this box score and stats, two guys are only above 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at us, right, I think what we're the same thing.
Same
way.
Team
that only has two guys in double digits, but then we have a crap ton of guys in the 8-9s, or
yeah.
And then guys who have put up 20 something a game, and got like from Braden to Ahir to Ryan to did CK get 20? He did.
Yeah.
So, like, stuff like that, you're like, whoa, this team knows, guys know when to score, and they're so evenly spread. No, I don't want to say evenly, but they're spread out. They spread out the scoring sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that's what it comes down to, really. That again, it's not that it's a shocker. It's more of like, okay, well, we know what we have done and or what we need to do. Let's just kind of go out there and, like, let's see if we can really get it done again. That's kind of my big thing as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for the game. I, you know, it's always fun. I'd much rather play a high major team, than a mid major team just because I respect the mid majors. And honestly, the one matchup for us would have been Murray State and they are really, really good. And I don't know a whole ton about them, but except that they're on like a crazy, 21 game win streak or something wild like that. So I don't want to have anything to do with. I don't want to have anything to do with them right now. So, but yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I don't know if we want to like do predictions or probably not, but,
keep going.
No, I was just going to say that's kind of all I have on the game. I mean, I'm excited. I think we have a very good chance to win. Especially just knowing the way that we prepare, we're going to prepare for everyone. And even if some of their guys are out for injury, we'll still have prepared for them if they are playing. So, I just believe in this group, to get this first win for sure. And, we'll see either way, successful season. But I'm excited to be there.
Absolutely. I think I love that end there is like, this season is a success in my opinion already. It's the consistency of winning and we've five straight winning seasons, two back to back, including a Sweet 16, but also like it's the first year of our head coach. And now the biggest thing is this, right? And we'll talk about this later. It's like, I think the biggest thing that I want to see from this is that we have so many seniors going. I want to see them kind of go out with a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of something that's also inside of my like hope. It's not just the first one, but I hope no matter how many games you play with, is that each senior gets their moment, even Will, gets their moment to kind of just be like, this is my final time wearing a jersey. And it was something I was thinking about. It was like, I think we can give that to some of our seniors. But again, we'll see. And I'm very excited for this coming Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me as well. Yeah. The only other thing we kind of wanted to do is just talk about the bracket a little bit. Like if there's any interesting like storylines or matchups or teams or anything like that. But for me, I mean, like, we can just start on our own region in the South region. We, like, if we end up winning, you know, we would probably most likely play Villanova. Villanova's a darn good team. Mm-hmm. Some of the other teams in our little pod, Tennessee, Michigan, Colorado State. I still refer to Tennessee as having some of those vile and rude Twitter fans of any team we've ever played. So it'd be good to get them again. I'd love to get revenge on Michigan. I think Colorado State's actually a really good team. They have, I forget his first name, something Roddy. But he is, David Roddy. He is one of just the most impressive players. He's the type of guy that could win you two games by himself. So I think he's someone to watch out for. And then just the other teams on the other side in the South, U of I, which again, I would be down to have that matchup. That would end up being in the Elite Eight. Houston, I think is pretty good.
That would be, just to put in a little note. No, that wouldn't be in Chicago. Sorry. We're in the South.
No, I know.
San Antonio. Okay. Yeah.
Houston, I think is pretty good. I think they could knock off Illinois. I don't know if they're as good as they were last year. TCU is an interesting team. They really came on late. I actually think they could surprise some people. And then Arizona is the one seed, and they are just really, really impressive. Although they are potentially down one of their guards. He said he was going to try to play one of their starting guards. So, but yeah, any of those teams in the South or any of the games, anything interesting there, you think, Lou?
Yeah, let's just point out the elephant in the room, I guess, right? It's the fact that we have Tennessee, right? Michigan, right? And Illinois.
Yeah, in the South, yeah.
All in the South with us, like, it would just be funny. I don't think there is a way, if we have a great run, that we could play all of them. I think at some point, one of them might have to maybe play.
Yeah, Tennessee would have to play Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. So, I just kind of laughed when I saw that. I was like, oh, did someone purposely do this? To just play, have the chance. But I think it's really exciting. It's something that these teams we could get to play are really just exciting for maybe recruiting and stuff like that. So that's what I see it as. But I think the biggest one for me is I would love to see a Villanova Loyola Chicago matchup. That's the game I think would be the biggest one knock on anything if we do win Friday's game, just because it's interesting how Jay Wright has taken that program. And that's kind of like you are a little jealous. You're like, that's what I hope Loyola turns into, right? A team that wins a national championship, a team that gets top recruits, puts out NBA talent, like, and a coach that wants to stay there long term. Like, that's kind of really cool. And I think some of us look to maybe Nova as a benchmark, right? Another Catholic school, in a big city, right? Of Philadelphia, right? So I like that matchup just because I also would like to see how we match up. I think we're kind of similar. In a way, I know they got a great guard in Connor Gillespie, who had that injury this year or last year. So there's stuff like that. So I'm excited for that one really the most, if I had to pick one out of our region. For a possibility, of course. All possibilities.
Yeah, and then just kind of going across the bracket, the West region, Gonzaga's the one. Boise State and Memphis face off. UConn, New Mexico State. I don't know, none of those. I mean, I think Boise State's actually really darn good. They came out of the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. I think the Mountain West is really good. I think as a whole, I think those teams are going to win a few games in the tournament. UConn, whatever, Arkansas. I mean, that 4-13 is kind of interesting. I think Arkansas, Vermont. I think Vermont's pretty good, but I haven't picked them, but I would understand if someone would. The 6-11, Alabama, and then they're facing off the winner of Rutgers and Notre Dame. I'm picking whichever 11 wins that game. I just don't trust Bama. I think Bama's either going to make it to the championship game or lose in the first round. So I just can't pick them because if I pick them, they'll lose. So, I also just think both Rutgers and Notre Dame are pretty good, for an 11 team. Texas Tech. Go ahead.
No, I just think really out of that bracket, it's really, I love that the 11 seed game that I think they both had decent ends. I didn't realize you didn't get to it. I think Davidson has a chance. It's kind of sucks to say, but we're in the tournament, so it doesn't matter. Michigan State's kind of not played at a high level this year that I think a lot of teams expected them to. Texas Tech, I think you're about to say.
Yeah.
I think they could go on a run. just because of that Montana State matchup. And then if they get that 11 seed, I think they could maybe go. But I think Davidson's a sleeper in this, as well as Vermont. I think Vermont against Arkansas, just because of Arkansas, some of the losses, I think you could, like, I don't think you'll see it, but it'd be really dope to see New Mexico State versus Vermont at 12-13. But I think if you get Vermont, you could see Vermont go into the Sweet 16. I easily think they could maybe make a splash. But, yeah, I think that's really how that region goes out. I don't think it's Gonzaga's alone. I don't know.
Okay.
It's so weird. Gonzaga always plays, like, what, a tough beginning, and then there's, what, Alabama or Arkansas? Or I think Alabama beat Gonzaga early in the season.
They so did, yeah.
You might see a rematch there. Memphis is a weird one. Let's not deny
I
it.
I don't, Penny yeah. Hardaway's,
Penny Hardaway's had such an interesting season, to say the least. So, yeah.
I but am the biggest – I'm the biggest Memphis denier or doubter in the whole country. I think they actually get.
I thought you were Providence. Oh, wow. Okay, you got multiple.
Oh, teams. I don't really like Providence either, but I think they're kind of good. I think Memphis is going to get absolutely destroyed by Boise State, and I'll say I think they lose by 25 points. Yeah.
Oh,
I just
heard
like
it here. You heard it here.
I just think that they are so undisciplined, and it's going to turn into hero ball with Imani Bates and Jalen Duren. It's just going to be silly. I can be wrong, obviously. I think
Bates
for me
is on that team.
Yeah, Monty Bates. Yeah, he's the. He's like.
Oh, I didn't realize he even still played. I thought he was.
Yeah, he's like 17, or he'd like just turned 18.
He came out. I thought he quit. That's why I thought he was done.
Oh, did he? I don't even know. Actually, that's a good question.
I'm gonna quickly confirm when his last game was January.
Really? That's why.
Wow. Well, see, that's the thing. I'll talk about Memphis. They beat Houston, and like this Memphis team is such up in the air, like it really is.
Interesting.
Imani Bates says he absolutely plans on playing with Memphis Tigers when healthy, and that was a month ago.
Weird.
So you never know. You'll see.
Weird
you
scenario.
You could see a Kyrie Irving where it misses a majority of the regular season, but decides to come out and play for the tournament. So
yeah.
We will see. But that,
my.
That,
Yeah, I have Gonzaga. I like Gonzaga. I actually have Gonzaga winning it all. I think.
Ooh.
Yeah, I have Gonzaga winning it all. I think their point guard, Nembhard, is really, really good. I think he's the best. I think he's a better point guard than Jalen Suggs. I'm not saying better NBA prospect, overall player. He is just an excellent point guard, and I think that sort of player is going to get them, win them a championship, honestly. So, yeah, that's my pick. But you want to go down to the East region?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so Baylor's the number one there. 8-9, North Carolina, Marquette.
That is a very interesting one.
Yeah, one of my teams that I like a lot is St. Mary's. I kind of just like the West Coast Conference a lot, honestly, this year.
Okay.
But I like St. Mary's a lot. The 4-13, UCLA versus Akron. I got a shout out to Akron, my mom's hometown. Gotta make that.
There we go.
Gotta mention that. The 6-11, Texas, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's super hot. And Texas is not. So I think that's an interesting, game. I think a lot of people are going to be picking Virginia Tech. Purdue and Yale, Murray State and San Francisco, which I think Murray State and San Francisco is going to be the best game of the first round. Just overall, like I think it's going to come down to the wire. And then Kentucky, St. Peter. So, actually for me, I'm sure you've seen stuff like this, but every year it seems like the Final Four is three ones or two seeds and then like an outlier, right? Like that's usually like what it ends up being.
Yeah.
So I actually have St. Mary's going to the Final Four, playing Gonzaga again. So that it's just, you know, you gotta spice it up a little bit. I can't stand when it's like the national people and it's like, I have Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas, and Kentucky. And it's like, oh wow, you really went on a limb there. Like how much fun. So yeah, that's my call for the East region, but I'm curious to see what you think about those teams.
Yeah, East, I'll make it quick. North Carolina Marquette first round matchup, I think, is an interesting one. I think North Carolina's had a really bad year. Marquette's had a hot start, but just stayed quiet. So we'll see. I actually have, if Indiana University wins that, because that's Indiana, right? Who plays the first?
The 12th. Yeah, Indiana and Wyoming, yeah.
Yeah, so if Indiana wins that, I have Indiana probably going most likely to the Sweet 16. I think just the way they played their Big Ten tournament games, that's what I hope they play. Like, they beat Michigan, they beat Illinois, and then they only lost to Iowa by three.
Okay.
So I'll kind of be like, I think, and Iowa then ended up winning, right? So Iowa won the Big Ten championship. So I think Indiana, they just got to, if they know how to play, again, let's just think, if they can plan to play the two straight games like they did their first two games of the Big Ten tournament, they're in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I think with IU, just because, again, I heard this, I don't know who, I actually heard it on the Field of 68, so shout out them, the John Goodman, whatever, but I actually heard Archie Miller say this. Archie Miller said the team who plays the play-in game is at an advantage, and they're referencing UCLA last year. Mm-hmm. Because their team's going to come in. Now, again, I don't think it's at an advantage if the team ends up having to play an overtime game, but that's what my take is, right? Because you're playing an extra game in such amount of time. But some of these guys just did that last week, so we'll see there. But IU, I think, is a sneaker there. Virginia Tech, you got to give that upset just because they're staying hot. Murray State, San Francisco, what an atrocious thing to see two great mid-major teams have to play each other in the first round. I would really have loved to see them not play each other. And maybe shake up the bracket somewhere else. But this game is split right down the middle. Both teams, I think, could win it. But, yeah, I think you might see probably Kentucky, I think, just what they got could turn it on. I think Baylor's been interested in Oklahoma beat them just last week. So, shout out Porter Moser, I guess. But I think I'll have Kentucky coming out of here.
Okay. All right. Cool.
I think IU could do it. I really do think they could do it. I think they're like a second, but to be honest, they also could lose the play-in game. So right now I got to wait for the play-in game to be played to confirm. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, Trace Jackson Davis was almost an All-American last year. He probably would have been if Krutwig wasn't. I think that was the one guy left off that a lot of people had. I could be wrong, but he either was an All-American or he was just barely left off. So he is darn good. And their guards have played a lot better recently, so. I could see that. In the Midwest, do you want to take it?
No, last quadrant, which I think we should have been in, but that's another day.
Yeah, the Midwest, one seed is Kansas, 8-9 is San Diego State Creighton. You got Iowa and Richmond, who won the A-10. Providence, who I think are frauds, and South Dakota State. And then LSU, Iowa State, Wisconsin's the three, playing the toothpaste brand Colgate. USC Miami is the 7-10 and Auburn is the 2 seed. Trying to remember exactly what I have here in this bracket. Honestly, for me, a lot of it depends on how healthy Johnny Davis is for Wisconsin. So this is probably the bracket I'm going to change the most before, Thursday or whatever. Just kind of depending on what the reports are from there. I see a lot of people like Iowa, and I understand that they score a billion points, and that's impressive, but I just think that somewhere along this line, like, I don't see them getting to the Sweet 16, honestly. Like, maybe I'm missing something because everyone's picking them, but I think Richmond could beat them. I didn't pick Richmond. And then honestly, if they play Providence, even though I think they're frauds, I think they play really good defense. And then if they play South Dakota State, South Dakota State's basically a very similar team to Iowa. They might not have the same physical, like, specimens of athletes that Iowa does, but they're just this really sharp shooting team. They like to run, and they could just lose at their own game. I love Auburn. My whole all season, I enjoy watching Auburn. Like, even when we played them, I like watching them. Their biggest thing is their guards just like to chuck from three. Like, all of them. Wendell Green, Katie Johnson, and Jasper, I think, is the other one. He doesn't do it as much. But if they can just work through Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, they'll win the championship. But I just don't think that's going to happen because the guards just can't resist chucking threes. So I don't think they lose in the first round. They might even make the Sweet 16, but unless they
completely 180 change their what brand of basketball. They're not going to make it to the past the Sweet 16, in my opinion. I have Wisconsin coming out of here, but if Johnny Davis isn't healthy, man, I don't know. This is I don't like picking another one seed, but if Johnny Davis isn't healthy, I think I'd probably pick Kansas.
Okay. So kind of complete opposite for me. So I think you'll see potentially like Creighton or San Diego State beating Kansas. I think you'll have Iowa go potentially to the Elite Eight. But my biggest thing is I have USC winning this side.
Interesting. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, just because I saw a lot of games with like I saw the UCLA game. I saw the Arizona State game. Now, yes, USC has lost a handful of games. But I saw that Auburn-Florida game, and oh, my God, could they not know how to put a shot for the game winner? Like, it confused me so much how I can't think of their point guard's name right now. But their short point guard, he didn't know what to do with the ball, and then he just chucks it. They chucked it up at the end. And like, I know it's not going to be that one play, but it's March Madness, and a lot of March Madness games do come down to one play. Mm-hmm. Maybe they haven't figured out. Maybe Jamari Smith just said, give me the ball before I end my career with Auburn because I'm going to go to the pros. But I really think USC, I think Miami snuck in personally. I know they got Charlie Moore out of, let's see, three different schools he's gone to, from California to Kansas to DePaul to now Miami. So if Charlie Moore decides to have a highlight tape, you could see him being in the pros next year. But I think I got USC coming out of it. So really it's like it's going to be USC. Wisconsin is probably going to win even without Johnny Davis the first round. But if they don't have Johnny Davis the first round, for the second round, then I don't think there. But really, I like USC, Iowa, and then the winner of the San Diego Creighton game. I'm probably going to go with Creighton because I think I'm back and forth San Diego State. And just Creighton just because, I don't know, it's Greg McDermott. I feel like he knows what he's doing with his team. I didn't even think they were that good. I forgot they were kind of still in it, but you play in the Big East and your losses don't look as bad, right? So I think that's it. But I got USC coming out. As much as it hates me to say it, I don't know if people know, I'm not the biggest USC fan. So that's what it is. But funny there. But yeah, USC, yeah. I like it.
So do you have the 8-9 winner, the Creighton potentially beating Kansas, or you think Kansas makes it like another round?
No, I think 8-9 will beat Kansas.
Okay.
I don't know. I've watched Kansas. Kansas blew out Missouri. I watched one game there. But then they, like, came down to Oklahoma on the with a lucky shot. Like, not lucky shot, but a game-winning shot. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think a lot of conferences, they've come down to close games.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, teams have lost. Like, Baylor lost. They're still one seed, but they lost to Oklahoma, who's just not even in the tournament, right? So, it's
right.
Like,
yep.
It's really interesting there. Sorry. I typed in Kansas basketball and nothing against it. But their women's roster or their women's scores came up, so I got confused how they lost. But like Kansas only lost beat Oklahoma by two, but then they beat Baylor by nearly double. So and then Texas beats them. So I don't know, this Kansas team. What if I'm pretty sure they've had a decent year without a doubt. But like Dayton beat them right early in the year.
Yeah.
So. I think there are ways that you can get a win out of this from an 8-9 team standpoint. It just really matters. I think the Kansas team is just going to be defense. You got to hold them. If you can't hold Kansas, then Kansas is going to walk all over you. So we will see.
Yeah. So who do you have winning at all? Because I got Gonzaga. I know I'm not going out on a limb there, but.
If I had to look at my like brackets and everything right now, I think it's actually going to be Arizona. I think Arizona is going to be my only one seed to maybe make it because I have Duke, I think, making it to the Final Four, and then I have Kentucky or – again.
Yeah, I think you said IU. Kentucky, yeah.
Yeah, Kentucky or IU. But, yeah, I think Arizona – I don't even know the team, but what, they got a – is it your first-year head coach or at least
– Oh, Tommy Lloyd. Yeah,
because Tommy Lloyd came down, what, from Gonzaga, right? Yeah, first season.
Yes.
And he came down from Gonzaga and tipped my cap to him, but he's got a roster that I don't know the roster too well. They got guys that are –
They're really impressive.
The season and the tournament, they've only lost three games. their three games they lost. Let's just confirm. If I get a schedule,
I think they lost
Tennessee by four, UCLA by quite a bit, actually. And then Colorado. But I don't know. I think they can do it. We will see. And then funny enough, Arizona made a comeback against Stanford, right? Like the 20 something comeback in the Pac-12. So, I don't know. We'll see. It's going to
Really impressive. Like they are. I think honestly, you could probably take like Gonzaga and Arizona or the field. And I wonder what the numbers on that are, but, I just think those two are the best. And I think there's a decent gap between the next probably Kansas and Baylor. So, that's kind of, I think that's going to be the podcast. I did go to the Selection Sunday show. It was good. Anyone who was there probably knows what I'm talking about, but, for those who weren't, it was fun, but you didn't miss much. There wasn't anything too crazy, although we did get to see all the players walk down, and Demezi Anderson was holding the trophy, which I thought was interesting, but, whatever, like, I'm sure maybe they just pass it around, like the Stanley Cup, someone gets it for 8 hours a day or something. But it was fun. I was glad I went. And, I think both of us were, we said earlier, but we're figuring out all the details, but we're going to be there in Pittsburgh for Friday's game. So, we got to figure out. I just saw an email about the pre-game bar.
Watch parties.
Yeah. And that's on Thursday. And since the game on Friday is at 12:15 local, I highly doubt, they might have a send off, but I highly doubt they're going to have, a pre-game bar, restaurant or whatever. We'll keep looking out. I'm sure Friday, depending on what happens, we might be at wherever, they have a post game. If they have a post game, I know when I was down in St. Louis, a lot of the listeners were asking about Lou. So if you see me, you can come chat with us because we'll be watching the game together. I don't know. I think that's all I got. Lou, you're excited? I'm pumped, man. This all feels like gravy now. It just feels like, icing on the cake.
Well, I think just for listeners who don't know, this is my first game watching in person since January. Got COVID in, February, couldn't make any of the senior night or even a Valpo game I planned, right? And then, a sudden family thing, so I missed our match. So I'm just happy to see Loyola basketball. Do I wish it was in Gentile? Absolutely. Maybe one day we'll build a massive arena and we can, or maybe we'll just play at United Center every year. I don't know, but I'm excited to see Loyola basketball and excited to get down to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. It'll be a blast, and we hope to see a lot of you there. But if you're not there, we'll hold down the fort and we'll scream as loud as 10 Ohio State fans each. So. I think that's going to do it, from Buck and Lou at Podcast 63. Thank you all for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.